more you want to know Him. It comes a time when you think you know Him, but there's so much more to know. There's so much more that you haven't learned of Him yet. Each time you get in His presence, you get to know Him a little more and a little more. But you'll never know Him fully until we go home with Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Before I begin tonight, I want to share a testimony. We need testimonies. Some of you know, and some of you haven't heard, but my next baby sister, Dolores, from Southern Michigan, she goes by Dee, back in March, decided to finally have a lump in her breast checked out. They told her it was cancerous, and they began doing some more research and treatment. During the part of that, they told her it had spread to her bones, and they began chemo treatment. All the while, my sister, who loves Jesus, she stood on her faith. She was using the doctors, but she stood on her faith, and she kept telling that doctor, "Jesus is healing me." Well, they gave her two chemo treatments, and the shrink, because the doctor didn't want to operate on the lump in her breast, it was so big, until he shrank it. That's what he told her. So they started chemo to shrink it. After two chemo treatments, it quit shrinking. And I got an email from her a couple weeks ago that she had sent to a group of people, not just me. And I read it, and I read between the lines, and I emailed her right back. I said, "Dee, tell me what's up. I read something between the lines I don't like." And she emailed me back. She said, "Well, they're going to do a PET scan. And that's a fancy term for injecting you with a radionuclide material and running you through what looks like a CAT scan machine, but it reads the radiation levels. And certain things, certain types of tissue absorb it more than others. And they can check for cancer anywhere in the body with it." She said, "They're going to give me a PET scan. And if there's still cancer in my bones, they say there's nothing else they can do for me." And I said, "Oh, really?" She said, "Yeah, but my Jesus is going to heal me." Amen. Now, when I first heard from her that she had this, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and He said, "You and your wife, lay hands on a prayer cloth, pray over it, send it to her." You know, prayer cloth is just a point of contact. Nothing my wife and I could do to that prayer cloth would matter at all. It's a point of contact, though. And so we did that. We sent that to her. And then I sent her some customized scripture confessions for her and for what she was dealing with. And I instructed her, "You speak these. You speak these every day, as many times a day as you think about it. Because when you confess the Word of God, it becomes real to you." Amen? Now, she goes to a nice Nazarene church, and they put her on her prayer chain. They prayed for her in the church. They put her on the prayer chain. I also put her on a prayer chain that I'm part of out here. Big, bad bunch of prayer warriors, let me tell you. And we just kept in contact. But when I got this last email, my wife and I started talking about, should we go back to Michigan? Should we go visit? I didn't get a release to do that. Tuesday morning, I got a phone call from her, not an email. And when I picked up the phone, she says, "This is Dee." And I go, "I know." And she said, "I'm cancer free." She said, "There isn't a spot of cancer in my body according to that PET scan." She said, "I was sitting in the office with my daughter waiting for the doctor to come in. And he stopped in the outer office and he didn't think I could hear. And he told his nurse, 'I don't understand what I'm seeing.' And the nurse said, why? He says, because this is Dolores' PET scan results, and there's no cancer in it. He didn't think she hurt him, but she did. Well, she still had the lump. She thought. But after hearing the results, she went and checked. The lump in her breast was completely gone also.
Hallelujah.
And she looked at that doctor. She said, I told you my Jesus was going to heal me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our God is a healer.
Yes.
He'd never once said he wouldn't heal you. It's up to us to procure it. And she did what she needed to do. She learned how to work the faith that she had into a victory. Amen? Now, the doctor was telling her one thing. Her family was telling her something else. Her friends were telling her something else. But her prayer chain people were, and the Word of God was telling her, you're healed. I was telling her, you're healed. Not because I knew she was healed in the natural, but because I knew what the Word of God said. I knew that if she could stand on her faith, she would get a victory. Amen? Faith is victory. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Amen? Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5. Oh, yeah, I got the email. Praise God. Now I know why I didn't have the release to go. It wasn't necessary. Amen? And I knew as soon as I heard her voice that I was getting a good report. Because my spirit rose. 1 John chapter 5, I'm going to read from the Amplified, verse 1. Everyone who believes, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, is a born-again child of God. And everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of Him, His offspring. By this we come to know, recognize, and understand that we love the children of God. When we love God and obey His commands, His orders and His charges, when we keep His ordinance and are mindful of His precepts and His teachings, for the true love of God is this, that we do His commands, keep His ordinances and are mindful of His precepts and teaching, and these orders of His are not irksome or burdensome or oppressive or grievous. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. Who is it that is victorious over, that conquers the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, who adheres to, trusts in, and relies on that fact? My sister believed in that. My sister believed that she was an overcomer. Sickness and disease is not of heaven. It's not of God. It's of the world. And she knew by her faith that she was going to overcome it. From day one, she confessed to me, I am healed by Jesus. No matter what she was giving me for reports, I'd ask her how she felt about it. She said, I'm healed. From day one. So when that report came in Tuesday morning that PET scan said she was cancer-free, the victory was hers. But it was in the Lord. It wasn't in her own natural doing. It wasn't in... I don't believe that the two chemos that she had did it. Because the lump stopped shrinking. That's why they stopped the chemos. That's why they did the PET scan to find out if she still had it in her bones. Because if it was still in her bones, they were going to quit. They told her, there's nothing more we can do for you. She said, "My God's healing me." And she waited for the PET scan results. She submitted to the doctors. Sometimes we're foolish if we don't. If we're not getting our healing on our own, God gave us doctors. He's our greatest healer, though. And we should always go to Him first. Faith overcomes. Faith overcomes people. Faith overcomes the world and everything that is in the world. Sickness, disease, cancer, you name it. We are overcomers through faith in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. All they did is walk around it for 7 days. They didn't touch it. By faith, God said, go walk around the walls 7 times. The walls fell down by faith. 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. By faith, she believed she would be. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and also of David and Samuel and all of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. How did they do it? By faith. By faith in their God and what He could do. Amen? Faith is victory. Faith will overcome anything that comes against you if you will stand on it, if you will rely on it. Faith's promises are what bring those victories. And faith's promises are all through this Word. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28, by faith, Moses kept the Passover. Why? So that the firstborn of the Israelites were not taken. Verse 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea to the other side. God parted the water for them. Amen? Verse 30, by faith, the walls came down. These are all promises. God said, I'll do this for you. We must not neglect the promises of faith. Many times we fail to get our victories because we've overlooked or neglected God's promises in His Word. Amen? If you don't know them, you can't use them. If you don't know where they are or how to find them, you can't use them. God's Word, this whole Bible, is a promise to us. Amen? And it's laced with promises all through it. And promises produce hope. And hope is what will get you to stand on your faith. In Hebrews 11:1 it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So once you have to have a goal, you have to have a vision of something in order to get your faith to give substance to it. Amen. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. One verse, Romans 15, verse 4. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. The patience and comfort of these Scriptures will give you hope. But you have to know them. You have to be in them. You have to meditate them. You can't just pick them up and read them once a week. No. The more you know God, the more you want to know Him. And how do you get to know Him? Through His Word. Through fellowship with Him. Through praising Him. Through worshiping Him. Through spending time in the prayer closet with Him. Amen. I like to say stepping in to the secret place with Him. If you learn how to do that, you can do it anytime, anywhere. Amen. In order to have our victory, in order for my sister to get her victory, she had to know this Word. She had to know how to use this Word. She had to know how to put it into action so that she could draw from her inner man that which was necessary for her victory to materialize. Amen. God's promises are here. We got to learn them. We got to read them. We got to meditate them. If necessary, we got to write them down. We got to refer to them often. We have to claim them for ourselves. We have to make them our own. Because until they become your own, they're not going to manifest anything for you. They're His promises to us. They're part of a covenant He made with Abraham many, many, many years ago. And a covenant between two bodies or two tribes or two peoples was never broken. The penalty for breaking a covenant was death. God made a covenant with His people through Abraham. He told Abraham, you and your people do this, and I'll do this. And you can find the words of that covenant all through the Old Testament. You can find it in the New Testament if you look. It's there. Amen. They're His promises. Keep my commandments, and I will keep you. Amen. In faith, we find the power for that victory. It takes power to overcome the world. It's a dangerous, nasty world out there, and it gets worse every day. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5. Chapter 1, excuse me. 1 Peter, chapter 1. First Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. You who are kept by the power of God through faith. We have an inheritance. An inheritance in God. And that inheritance is everything that Jesus Christ has. It's ours. I know when I got an inheritance from an estate in the natural, there was things given to me. And they were mine. I have an inheritance in Christ, and it's everything that He's given to me in His Word. And it's mine only if I take it and receive it. I could have turned down that inheritance in the natural. I'd be a fool to do it, but I could have. Well, I'd be a fool to turn down the inheritance that Christ has given me. He's given me power, love, and a sound mind. I have the mind of Christ. I have the love of God. And anything, and all of my needs are met according to His riches and glory in Christ. Not according to what I do, as long as I'm true to Him. The power of God is made available to us through our faith. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 says this, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. He didn't quantify that. He didn't qualify it. He said, all things are possible to him who believes. All things to me means anything I choose to believe. Now, I do believe that it is in accordance with His Word. That I can't go out and believe for something that goes against His Word and expect to get it. But anything that I believe for in accordance with His Word, I can have. The Word says so. Faith appropriates God's power for us. When you stand on faith, that power appropriates to you. We can do very little in our own strength. Oh, we can do natural things, yeah. But we can do very little spiritually in our own strength. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? With God, all things are possible. Mark chapter 10, verse 27. But Jesus looked at them and said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." But you have to be fully trustworthy of God. You have to be trusting Him for whatever it is you're believing Him for, too. Belief and trust go hand in hand. Faith and trust go hand in hand. Amen? You have to understand this. God's power is... there is no power as great as His. It's infinite. It's eternal. It's everlasting. It never diminishes. It created the earth we're sitting on today. Just by speaking, He created it. Amen? In Hebrews 13:8, it says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. And He was with God, and He was God when the earth was created. That means that He is still the same today. The power that created the earth is still there today. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is still with us today. It did not pass away, people. The Holy Spirit lives among us. And that is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Amen? Faith will provide protection for you along the way to your victory. Faith will provide protection. Psalm 28:7. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise Him. The psalmist David here recognized that God was his source of protection, that God was his source of strength, and he trusted in Him and was delivered, and because of that he praised God. We should always return praise to God for what He's done for us. Amen? Our victory depends on our faith in God's protection also. If you aren't protected, you can't make it to the victory. But God said He will keep His own. He's willing and able to protect His own. Psalm 91, my favorite psalm. I love it. Psalm 91, verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I said, remember I told you earlier, if you can step into that secret place, all of the things around you will disappear, all the cares of the world will disappear. If you can step into that secret place, right here, Psalm 91 tells you, he who dwells in that secret place of the Almighty shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That means you're under His protection. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and in Him I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and your buckler. That's protection, people. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. When all that stuff was coming against my sister, and there was destruction in the forecast, she trusted in her God. And her words were never faltered. She said, "My Jesus will heal me. He's healing me now," she said. It just isn't showing yet. Amen. But we have to believe and know and understand that God's protection is there for us. That we can step into it anytime we want to. Anytime we want to, we can step into it. And He's there for us. Drop down to verse 9. "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place." Condition. In order to step into it, you have to make the Lord your dwelling place. What does that mean? What is a dwelling place? A dwelling place is some place that I inhabit. It's a place where I make my home. It's a place where I abide and stay forever. A dwelling place is not a casual meeting on the street corner. A dwelling place is not a casual meeting in a store someplace. A dwelling place is where I live and abide. Amen. In other words, I have to make my home in the Lord. I have to be with Him. I have to fellowship with Him. I have to meditate His Word. I have to understand what is going on. I have to know Him. I have to have a personal, day-to-day, hour-to-hour relationship with Him. Amen? Let's go on. Verse 10. "If you make the Lord your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." I'll tell you right now, I pray that quite often over my family and over my possessions. I ask the Lord's angels to take charge over my possessions, my home, my family, and protect them, because His Word says they will do it. And there's another verse in Hebrews that says they are there for us, for the minister. They are there to minister to the children of God. Amen? And so I'm going to use them. I don't care if I can't see them. It doesn't matter. I know they're there. I know that if God would open my spiritual eyes right here tonight, this room would be full of angels, because each of us have angels with us here tonight. Each of us that's a child of God has angels assigned to you to watch over you, to keep you, to protect you, as long as you're abiding in His Word and as long as you're doing what He's told you to do. Amen? Praise God. Faith, to be victorious, requires prayer and petition also. It requires us to take our petitions to God so that He can hear them. Amen? Psalm 28:6. We looked at 28:7. Let's look at 28:6. "Blessed be the Lord, because He has heard the voice of my supplications." When I go to God and I take petitions to Him, I know that He hears me. How do I know that He hears me? Well, number one, He answers them. But He hears me because I'm a child of God. He hears me because I'm in right standing with Him. And if there's any chance that I'm not in right standing with Him, before I take my prayers to Him, I ask Him to forgive me and to show me and to cleanse my heart of any unrighteousness. Now I know He's going to hear me when I take my petitions to Him, because He said He's faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Here the psalmist David brought his petitions to the Lord so that he was heard and then delivered in verse 7. To be victorious, we also must bring our petitions to the Lord. You can say, well, He knows what they are, but He wants you to bring them to Him. Amen? And you have to know that He hears you. You have to know that He hears you. In Exodus chapter 2, let's go back to the Old Testament for a moment. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23. "Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. And from the far side of the desert came a man called Moses that God called to deliver the people out of Egypt. Because He heard their cries. He heard their petitions. And when God hears your petitions as children of God, He responds. He answers. Amen? Many people, Christians, lack their victories because they fail to trust God. They try everything else first. And as a last resort, they pick up the Word and they start praying. Well, let me tell you a little secret. The very first thing you should try is prayer. And you shouldn't try it. You should do it. You never try prayer. You never try faith. You either have it or you don't. You do it and you believe it. Because if you don't do it and you don't believe it, there's absolutely no way it can work for you. Prayer should always be first. And I know that's why that lump was so big by the time my sister went to the doctor with it, because she was in prayer. She had taken it to her church. She had been prayed for, and she was believing God for healing, and it wasn't coming. So she finally had to say, okay, let's go find out what's going on. One thing that happens when you go to a doctor and get diagnosed is you have a whole lot better knowledge of what to pray for now, because he tells you what's wrong and what's caused it. Now I can be specific with my prayers. Amen. When you become specific with your prayers, you get answers faster. A general prayer tossed up is just that. Amen. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, if when something comes against you, if the first thing you do is take it to God in prayer, He can give you that perfect peace to deal with it. Instead of you getting all psyched up and freaked out and believing those ill reports that you're getting. Isaiah said, whose report will I believe? I'll believe the report of the Lord. Amen. Prayer first. Petition and prayer. They're really the same. Amen. It's time spent with God through His Word, telling Him what your needs are or what your requests are, so that He can hear you and so that He can answer them. Amen. Sometimes He answers through people. Don't shut off a brother and sister if they come to you with a word from the Lord. Listen to it and evaluate it. It could be your answer. I know God speaks to me in prayer, but He also speaks to me through my pastor. He speaks to me through other people sometimes. He even corrects me sometimes through other people. Amen? You have to be open to correction too, because sometimes you need correction before you can receive what you're requesting. God says we're to remind Him of His Word. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25. I, Even I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will not remember your sins. Verse 26, put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. That word contend in the King James is translated as let us plead your case together. He doesn't say come to him and tell him what your problem is. He says let's get together and plead your case together using his word. Amen. Put him in remembrance of his word and allow him to work through you and through his word to show you the answer. Prayer. You must believe that you're going to receive when you ask for it. Matthew 21, verse 21 and 22. Matthew 21, verses 21 and 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also, if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. If you ask doubting, what are you going to get? You're going to get nothing. And we all know Mark 11, 23 through 25, right? Verse 22. Mark 11, 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. He didn't say you have them right then. But he did say you have to believe for them right then. You can't pray and say, well, they're going to happen someday. No, you believe you have them when you pray. My sister said, I have the healing from Jesus from day one. And the last thing I want to look at, we're talking about faith is victory tonight. Faith is victory. You have to know the person of faith. Now, who is the person of faith? You have to know the person of faith because that brings the victory. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The author and the finisher of my faith is Jesus. Jesus is the person of my faith. Amen? Many people seek help from sources other than God. We already talked about that. Help, true help, only comes from God. True help only comes from God. Psalm 118. Psalms 118, verse 8. Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. You need to know the person of faith. You need to put your confidence in the person of faith, not in man. Proverbs chapter 30. Verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. The person of faith is who I'm going to look to when I need a victory. We should be thankful for those that do help us. But we should put Christ first in our lives, people. We should put Christ first in all situations. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, I believe it is, he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And all those other things, He'll take care of. Doesn't matter what those other things are. He'll take care of them. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In other words, seek to be right standing before God. He's not saying that you're perfect. He's saying, seek to be right standing before me. If you have things that need to be taken care of, come to me, confess them. I'll cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Once He's cleansed you of unrighteousness, you are now in right standing before Him. And you can petition Him for anything you want. And He will hear you. Christ is that person of faith. Jesus was born the seed of Abraham. Abraham was a covenant man, a man of faith. That covenant was sealed in Jesus. And that covenant is still in effect today, people. If you go back and look it up, it was for 1,000 generations. I know that 1,000 generations have not passed since Abraham. There's a lot more generations to come before we hit 1,000, as a matter of fact. So that covenant is still in effect. And we, each and every one of us, are a part of that covenant. We have rights to use anything in that covenant because we are of Jesus. Amen? Galatians chapter 3. Verse 16, Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He does not say and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. So the promise was made to Abraham and to Jesus. The covenant that God made. Verse 17, and this I say, that the law, which was 430 years later, cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. In other words, that promise is still in effect. Every promise He made to Abraham, go back to Genesis chapter 15 through 17, and every promise He made to Abraham when He cut the covenant with him is ours. Every single one of them. See what He told Abraham He'd do to him. How He said He'd prosper him. It's ours. Belongs to us too. For if the inheritance is of the law, then it is no longer of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. And to Jesus. And when I received Jesus, I received that same promise. That same covenant is mine. Living by faith in God. And by His word. Amen. In the covenant, God told Abraham, walk before me and be thou perfect. Now, God knew Abraham couldn't be perfect. The translation there should have said, and be thou righteous. because that's what he meant. And you can be righteous because God said you're righteous. You can be righteous because you believe in Jesus Christ and because you go to God and say, Father, I have sinned. And he said, I am faithful and just to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Therefore, you're now righteous. And that's what that meant. He told Abraham, be thou perfect and walk before me. Or, really, walk by faith, Abraham. Walk by faith in me. Jesus was doing that. When he came to earth, he was walking the shores of Galilee, a covenant man with God. Every jot and tittle of the covenant was his. Not because he was the Son of God, but because he was a man under the covenant that was sealed, made with Abraham. Amen. Living by faith in God made him a covenant man at that point. This covenant with and through Christ makes available to us as believers who are in covenant with God all of the spiritual benefits and promises laid out in God's Word. But we have to acquire them by faith. They don't just get given to us, although they're laid out there and all we have to do is go take them. But we have to take them through faith. These benefits and promises can be used and enjoyed through faith to produce our victory in any circumstance we encounter in life. If we will put our trust in Him, put our trust in His Word, and rely on what He has said. Amen? You have to have faith in God. And you have to have the God kind of faith. And you have to know how to make it work. And to make it work, you have to know His Word. And you have to spend time with Him. My sister got her victory over that demon cancer because she knew God, she knew Jesus, she knew the Word, and she knew how to make it work, and we helped her. Amen? The report she was getting was bad, but she never wavered. I know that her family and friends were not helping her. I know the family. I know most of her friends. She's a beacon to them because she's the one that's going to church. But she didn't waver. Every time I had contact with her, her spirits were up. She knew what was where she was going. And she said, I have the victory. My Jesus is healing me. Amen? Faith is victory. But Christ said back in Matthew, I believe it's chapter 22, you must endure to the end. You have to endure to see the victory. Amen? Praise God. God is good. Amen? We have the victory. D has the victory. And that victory is in Christ. Stand to your feet.